This week, we've all been looking at forgiveness because it's in our Bible study and in Matthew. And I want to touch on three different aspects of forgiveness. First, remembering our forgiveness in Christ. Secondly, forgiving one another. And thirdly, forgiving ourselves. Now, some of us, when we repented and came to know Christ, really moved in that direction because we heard about the gospel. It made intellectual sense to us, the truth of the Bible. We knew we needed it, and God called us to forgiveness in Christ. And others saw the opportunity for personal forgiveness in their sins that they've been dragging around. It was more of a deliverance for them. But I have to tell you that I think forgiveness is a deliverance for all of us. We may not know it, but it's true. In any case, however a person comes to faith in Christ, the Bible tells us it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin by remembering our forgiveness in Christ. I don't know about you, but the longer I have known the Lord, I see what he has saved me from. Very thankful for that. The Bible says, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus took on all my sin so I could come to know him and be pure before him. You may notice that when we fix our eyes on the Lord, we so often see our own worthiness. Now, I think the enemy does that. He wants to keep us there, looking at what we've done. Oh, how could God forgive me? How am I ever going to change? But let's remember this. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. He was the perfect sacrifice. You know, Brandon has shared with us, we couldn't die for each other's sins because we're all sinners. We needed the perfect sacrifice. Before we knew the Lord, he knew us and he gets us. Just think about in our study how Jesus knows these disciples inside and out and all their badness. He knows everything about them. And that's how he is with us. The closer we draw to his great holiness, the more overwhelmed we should become with him and not ourselves. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Y'all have probably heard these definitions before. Grace, I think somebody else shared these recently. Grace, getting what we don't deserve, what we do deserve, what we don't deserve is his forgiveness. Getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve his forgiveness. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. We deserve to be judged for our sins. But the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And once we receive him, we spend time in the scriptures, learning about him and his will, talking and confessing with him, praying for others, the more we're changed to be made like him. Maybe you're someone who's here this morning coming to Bible study and learning all about this Bible and what people are talking about, yet you haven't experienced repentance and the forgiveness of Christ yourself. He's brought you here just like he brought all of us. And if you have any questions about salvation, don't hesitate to talk with any of the ministry leaders or your Bible study leaders today. Let's move on to number two, forgiving one another by his Spirit. Pastor Chris Brooks says, our heart must never lose sight of the goal of the gospel, which is reconciliation first to God in Christ and then to one another. Dr. Tony Evans says that the Greek word translated forgiveness literally means to release. This is what God has done for us. He's released us from sin's grip. Forgiveness is also a choice with God's help. To release a person, maybe those we love, from an obligation for a wrong committed against us. I'm sure there are many Christians, even in this church, that are experiencing the ripple effects of unforgiveness in some form or another. It can be a response to great offenses or just small snubs and slights. Oswald Chambers said, we can talk glibly about forgiving when we've never been injured. When we are injured, we know it's not possible, apart from God's grace, for one human being to forgive another. Nancy Lee DeMoss says, our society is so riddled with rancor and bitterness that we almost consider it a normal response to life. And looking at our current situation in our country, I would say that's very true. See to it, the writer of Hebrews says, that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That's Hebrews 12:15. Did you get the first three words? See to it. Those are the inspired words of God. Do it. We are to be obeying this. Yet we find ourselves clinging to unforgiveness and not obtaining and seeking the grace of God. I remember learning this anagram when I was young about God's riches at Christ's expense. See, he's given us the riches through his Holy Spirit and the ability to let go of anger, bitterness, jealousy through his power, not ours. We are to replace those with mercy and forgiveness. I believe forgiving others is a Holy Spirit thing, and it's not of our flesh. I like this illustration of unforgiveness. It's called being a debt collector. We keep a record of what and how others have hurt us or done something against us. Like, you know, I see those people talking while I'm teaching on forgiveness. That's in my book. That's in my book. Now, this does more than keep our offenders in debtors' prison. It puts us in prison. I've had several I've had several experiences in youth of learning how to ask for forgiveness and for forgiving others. I grew up in an alcoholic home, but thankfully I trusted Christ at 9, and there was a lot of drinking, swearing, screaming, fighting. Often when I was a little girl at night, I would grab my father's hand and I would tug him and pull him and get him to go to bed so he'd stop screaming at my mother, and I'd tickle his arm. And that's how I'd get him to sleep at night. But as I grew older, I was not so nice. I pled with him to change. I wanted him to feel bad for the hurt that he had caused us. And I showed him great disrespect. When I was growing in my faith in high school, I attended a teaching on forgiveness, and God worked in my heart. I came home, and I sat down with my dad, and I asked him if he would forgive me for being so disrespectful over the years. Sorry, y'all. By God's grace, I let go of that debt I held against him at that point. He, of course, said, yes, I forgive you. But he didn't ask me to forgive him. I don't think he knew how to do that. I moved to Ohio after college and met Dave, my husband, my future husband. My parents actually flew up together, which was shocking, and I was in for a blessing, because my dad, at 53 years old, had trusted Christ as his Savior. And you know how? Through a track on his car windshield. God can still use track. I believe in tracks. And he told me all about it. It was incredible, y'all. I was so overjoyed. And then they flew home, and he died right after that. I am so thankful that I was able to hear his story. And the scripture that he clung to, he had a little beginning with Christ pack. You know what those are? And it had all the essential verses of faith. And he was just showing them to me and loving it. And I love that. He was basing his faith on those verses. He had never asked for my forgiveness, but it was okay. And as I look back, I'm grateful for the time I had forgiven him and been set free from my root of bitterness. Maybe you have one today. So I could rejoice with him in what God had done and not held on to the past. I think sometimes we wait for those golden words, please forgive me, before we will forgive others. It's like an idol. Oh, I can't forgive people. They didn't ask me for forgiveness. God works in spite of that. In the last year, I have again struggled with the sin of unforgiveness toward two people, two Christians in my life, that had said some very hurtful things about me. The first person was bothered and annoyed by my hearing aid. They know I wear hearing aids, but I still ask what a lot because of the sound quality. I had turned them all the way up. And before the night was over, we best said we were sorry because, see, I said something mean too, right back. I'm kind of a fighter. In case y'all haven't figured that. Okay, And we said that we were sorry, but y'all, I still bore this grudge, and it kind of traveled with me. Now, the second person was someone who was always giving me little slights, letting me know they knew more than I did, and they were more Christ-like than me. And you know what? They probably are. I can really tell you that true statement. And they never knew they hurt me. And I knew I could never confront them because they're very fragile people, and it would have ruined our relationship. So, because of my hurt feelings and my debt bank, my unforgiveness began to grow toward these two people. It was like a tumbleweed in Texas. I'd wake up in the night and I would brood over these slights, and I couldn't go back to sleep. Anytime I had a free moment, I believed Satan would bring these offenses to mind, and I began to see the very worst in them. I was angry. I felt justified in my anger. It was like this vine, and it wrapped itself around my brain and my heart. It was horrible. Where was I? More often, I began to feel sorry for myself that those two people had wronged me. I had asked the Lord to help me forgive them, but it never seemed to take. Finally, after weeks of desperation, I cried out to the Lord for forgiveness for my unforgiving heart. See, it was a prayer about me and my sin and not them. My focus wasn't on them anymore. That's when I was able to forgive them. I remember asking the Lord, why am I even going through this? Guess what he reminded me of? Speaking on forgiveness today. It was a great motivator to get this figured out. I see now that instead of going straight to God when I was hurt, I looked to myself to get through it. Then I prayed that he would show me what I needed to get past this unforgiveness, and three simple ideas came my way. First was to forgive them every single time it came to mind. Second, to pray blessings on them, like the job they needed or helping them to grow in their service to the Lord or being more sensitive to other people. And third was to show them love in my words and actions. And it wasn't long before I really was released from this unforgiveness. We're on good terms now. I may never know if they ask God for forgiveness for hurting me. But you know what? I can leave it there because I've forgiven them. Now, sometimes we forgive. We must separate what occurred from our response to it. Sometimes we over-respond. Now, I was told of a story about John Piper, and I couldn't find the story, but this is the gist of it. He and his wife hired a Christian babysitter, and they lovingly entrust their children's care to her. But while watching them, she gets distracted and puts them in a dangerous situation. Now, they're okay when the parents get back, but it wasn't good. He explained that he forgives the sitter, but he decides that having her again would not be wise. He no longer trusts her for the safety of the kids. So he forgave her, and he didn't hold a grudge, but he decided she was not the sitter for them. And you know what? That's okay. Another example along those lines would be having a friend to whom you share your deepest, darkest secrets. You believe those secrets are safe with them, and shortly after, you hear somebody talking about your secrets. Do you get angry? Do you break up the friendship? Do you never speak to them again? Do you get your own tumbleweed growing? Or do you realize they are not good at keeping secrets? Duh! You speak to them about it, you forgive them, you're still friends, but you no longer share your deepest secrets with them. And this is okay, it's a wise thing to do. Corrie Ten Boom, who survived a Nazi death camp, says this. Y'all ever read about Corrie Ten Boom? She's fabulous. Forgiveness is an act of will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. I have forgiven people when I didn't feel like it because it was what God wanted me to do. Now, we know people are in more desperate situations that easy forgiveness may not be the answer. Sometimes the forgiveness needs to be much more complex than these I've shared today. But we have a Heavenly Father who can direct us to those who can help us heal and forgive others at that deeper level. We can ask God to deal with those who have done or spoken evil against us and to give us peace and leave these things in God's hands. Okay, number three, forgiving ourselves. Do you ever feel sideswiped by memories of something you've done wrong in the past? You've asked for forgiveness, but you're still guilty and feel unforgiven. Now, you are a debt collector, but you're holding your own debts against yourself. I think often we older parents struggle with this. Oh, I wish I'd responded differently to my kids 30 years ago. When this or that happened, maybe it would have led their lives in an entirely different direction. I've done this many times. But the fact is, as parents, we all sinned. We weren't perfect parents. Maybe we need to go to our kids, or at least one of them, and ask their forgiveness as adults. Paul Miller's written a book called Praying Life. Thank you, Jill. He lists some of the sin areas that God uses to draw him into prayer. When we are faced with our own weaknesses and sins, we can ruminate on them, drag them around with us, or like this author, we can use them as a prompt to talk to God. So whenever that sin nature rears its ugly head in some area, that's your prompt. Talk to God. Ask him to change us. So as soon as you experience this past or present guilt, take it to him. Now, this has reminded me of an old movie. It's called The Mission. Has anybody here seen The Mission? Okay. All right. It's a movie about the experiences of an 18th century Spanish Jesuit who goes into the South American wilderness to build a mission in hope of converting the Indians of the area. Now, there's a slave hunter named Mendoza who's converted to Christ and joins the Jesuit in his mission, but he ends up killing somebody, accidentally, I'm sure, in the Guarani tribe. And he's told he must do penance for his sins. So he drags this heavy bundle. He gets this bag all together, and he's got his armor and the sword he used to kill the guy with and all a bunch of other junk in there. And he is going to climb the side of a mountain with all of this, okay? It's a very arduous journey. The actor's doing this, sweating. He's using all fours. He's pulling that bag up with him the whole way. But when he reaches the top, the Guarani people are up there waiting for him. I'm sure he's thinking, they're here to kill me. Mendoza cries in sorrow and fear as the people come toward him with a knife. But instead of hurting him, they cut the rope holding the heavy baggage and they forgive him. But as I thought about this movie, I was kind of disappointed in it because how sad that the slave trader Mendoza did not understand his forgiveness was in Christ and that the heavy burden of penance would do nothing for him except making him feel that forgiveness must be worked for or earned. We too can keep believing that and carry our heavy burden of sins around. Maybe at some point, we even carry a disappointment with God around. Maybe you're a little angry with the Lord because he didn't do things exactly your way. Thankfully, most of us will not go to the extreme of the movie. But if you have that disappointment with God, talk it out with him. He wants to know these things. He wants you to be honest with him because he already knows it. Okay, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus, we have access for forgiveness, and it's never too late to return to him or ask another friend to forgive us or forgive ourselves. In closing, as I have struggled to forgive myself for certain past sins, I've come to realize I am not the ultimate authority in my own life. The Lord is. If he can forgive us, then we need to learn to ask him. We need to learn to ask him to help us forgive others and ourselves. Now, I've included two things for y'all on the back of the handout where you could take notes, which you didn't have to, but it is an article on Mary Magdalene and her great sins and how Jesus treated her and what he did in her life. On the other handout, it's a few ideas that I've stolen from many other people on how to deal with forgiveness and unforgiveness and what to do about them. Let's pray for one another to have victory in this important area of our faith, because I'm telling you what, when you've got that root of bitterness, it stalls you from going before the Lord and talking to him and walking in the Spirit. It's a stall tactic, and I know who's behind it. Let me close this in prayer, y'all. Heavenly Father, our hearts bow before you in thankfulness for your eternal forgiveness through Christ. Would you help us by your Spirit to do as you say in your word? 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Enable us to let go of unforgiveness that keeps others and ourselves in prison. We lean into you and your mercy, dear Lord. Amen.